Hi, my name is Hans Peter Meyer, and I'm the host of the Men's Work Podcast, where you'll find interviews with men and with women. You'll find yoga classes, you'll find reflections, you'll find a lot of material to hopefully help you move through the tests that life has handed you. End of marriage, loss of job, marital relationship stress, fatherhood, just being overwhelmed. It's a lot. So listen, if you need to talk, I've got no charge mini coaching sessions at menswork.ca. Enjoy the show. Let's get started. So my name is Hans Peter Meyer, and I host these conversations called Men's Work on menswork.ca. And today I'm talking to Max Trombley. I know Max just through online, actually. We met because he's an assistant trainer with John Wineland's current Path of the Embodied Masculine, which I am taking. And there was a discussion online about, you know, one of the guys, like all of us who, well, pretty much all of us who end up dealing with divorce and stuff, struggle with it. And this fellow was struggling with it. And I had my response to it. And Max, in his response, put together two words which I would have never had thought about. He talked about the possibility of there being a sacred divorce. So that's why I asked him to be the guest co-host on this conversation about men and divorce. I think divorce is, from my conversations with men, I just have seen it tear men apart like nothing else. So that's my introduction here. Max, can you just tell me a little bit about who you are and what qualifies you to talk about men, divorce, sacred divorce?
Yeah, sure, Hans. Well, as you said, my name is Max Trombley. And I guess I'll start with, I've been in men's work in some form since 2016. And interestingly, I started a men's group as I was struggling near the beginning of the end of a marriage. So it's just interesting that as I reflect back to the beginning of my men's work process, I was going through a pretty tough time. So I've been leading men's circles since 2016. I started in Central Virginia, where I was living at the time, and I now run them in New Orleans, Louisiana. And as you mentioned, I work with John Wineland. I'm an assistant in a few of his programs, and I've been working with him since 2019. And so, you know, I'm pretty deeply immersed in the world of men's work. And then when it comes to divorce, as I was going through the process of divorce, I had some, I guess looking back on it, some pretty radical changes of understanding around how I could do divorce and how I could go through a divorce. And I think, you know, that's what I'd like to bring, you know, this evening is, you know, a discussion around, as you mentioned, the idea of a sacred divorce. That's what I've come to call it now. At the time, I had sort of a different perspective, but, you know, so I went through a divorce and it was difficult. And it wasn't terrible. It wasn't, what I'll say is that I think all divorces are incredibly painful. They're incredibly difficult. They're very hard to navigate. And it's in that space that I felt called to do it differently than how I had read other people had done it, or I had asked other people how they did it. And I just didn't feel congruent with the way people were, you know, going through divorce. And so I kind of created a way. And I did my process of divorce, and it was, in my opinion, kind of beautiful. It was incredibly painful, but I feel really deeply that I did it with honor, integrity, and respect, and I did it with love. Even though I had fallen out of love with my partner, I did it honoring her in the process. And you know, as I've looked back on it, I feel called to share this, because I think that, you know, anyone that's contemplating divorce or is on the receiving end of somebody else contemplating divorce, it's heavy, it's dark, it's scary, it's painful. And, you know, I don't know if you have any particular questions, but you know, it's from this understanding that divorce is basically hell, that's where this all comes in.
Okay. Well, I've had two divorces. So in one case, it was a legal marriage. The other case, it was a common law relationship. Both of those relationships meant a lot to me. Like a lot of guys, there were different times I was trapped in this. It felt like a trap of, I'm not sure I could feel anything except for the anger, and it had to do with financial loss.
Yeah.
You know, I posted a picture today about that did a really good job. There's a guy on Instagram called Black Belt Husband who does a really good job of kind of divorce busting, he's got some great posts, great memes. Yeah. And this one had to do with, you know, like the financial cost of divorce. So, you know, like, don't do it. Like, do whatever you can because to avoid that, because none of us wants to bear that cost. And I think that's where it hits for a lot of us guys is that.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing that you brought up, you know, it, I don't know if it took your divorce or the end of your relationship to move you into men's work, but I know that for lots of us guys, that's the crisis that makes us step outside of our comfort zone because nothing is working anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's true. What I would say is I was in a pretty difficult relational space at the time. I read a lot, and I was reading, you know, I think the book that really started me off toward men's work was, The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. And I started to realize there was a different way to exist as the self with relationship to the mind and body and awareness, right? And it was from that place that I was like, wow, I've got to talk to other guys about this. And then like, so I started kind of, I was in a, you know, a space of really trying to figure out what it means to be human, what it means to be in this place right now. What am I doing here? And I'm sure some of that was definitely related to confusion around my relationship and what was happening in my relationship. Mm-hmm. But I was also going through a great transition in my life where I was transitioning out of a career that I'd had for about a decade. And then I was moving into farming and learning how to farm. And so I was in this great pivot point in my life. I was in my early 30s and I was like, you know, I was just on a path to kind of expand what I was doing with my life. And and I guess, you know, it's interesting. As I look back, I wonder how much of this me going into men's work was a result of the difficulty in my relationship or just a natural progression of where I would have gone. I'm not really certain, but it's an interesting question.
So you talk about like the power of now starts making you want to explore conversations and stuff with men. Now, you know, we're a different generation, but there would have been very few men for me, if I would have been your age, it would have been really much easier for me probably to have those conversations with women. Like, there would have been lots of women around me who would have been more receptive to that. Guys, it would have been, you know, there would have been very few that would have been open to that. So I'm curious about that.
Yeah, well, I would argue that that's true even now. And I think that, you know, you can find men, well, what it really comes down to is emotional awareness, emotional intelligence, people that are aware of emotions. And, you know, historically, women are more in tune with the idea of what is the emotional body. And men tend to be a little less aware of that across the spectrum, I guess. But you can find them. And, you know, I guess I was involved in the yoga community and the acro yoga community, and I had some friends in different places. And
all right,
you know, I just started telling men like I want to start a group of guys, like, you know, just getting together and having conversations. And at the beginning of these conversations, it wasn't really men's work stuff. It was just more like, what do you think the meaning of life is? Like, what are we doing here? And so, I mean, that's just how I ended up forming a men's group. My first one was just sort of out of interest of getting together with other guys. And I also realized at the time that I didn't have a lot of masculine friends, you know, I wanted them. So that's how I came to men's work. But yeah, I mean, if you're ready, what I would love to do is I'd love to make a proposition about this idea of divorce. And I really want to start kind of boldly with an idea that you alluded to around sacred divorce. Can I just go right in?
Yeah, go for it.
So here's the thing about divorce is that, first of all, it is the heaviest and darkest of days, right? Whether you're the one that wants the divorce or you're the receiver of somebody wanting divorce, you're at what feels in a lot of cases like a catastrophic end to something sacred, something important, something that was your entire life, right? And so the common thing is that you go into divorce and you can't see anything beyond it. All you can see is the end is coming. And that's natural and that's okay. And I think that we all just, what happens is like, you're either struggling to maintain your relationship or you're trying to fix it, or you're just, maybe you're depressed and just you've given up on everything. But as this divorce thing is approaching, you really just are, there's nothing past that. And so the first thing that I want to propose is that for my thoughts around having a more sacred divorce, or a divorce with deep intention and a healthy divorce, if you will, the first thing you've got to understand is that you're going to survive. You're going to wake up the next day after your divorce, and you're going to have a life that's beyond that. And so knowing that, the way that I like to talk about divorce is that divorce is a process. And it is, I call it a three-part process that starts with the end, and then it has a middle, and then a beginning. And so when I talk about these concepts during this conversation, there's sort of these, you know, there's these ideas that I'm gonna propose, and I don't wanna neglect that underneath them, there's a tremendous amount of pain and difficulty. So I'll touch a little bit on the details, but I had an analogy that I came up with earlier this evening, which was like, what I want to talk about is creating a bridge. It's a bridge from one cliff to another cliff. And we're talking about getting from here to there in a way that's beautiful. And in order to do that, you also have to, you know, to build that bridge, there's structural support, there's beams, there's like shoring up the ground to make sure it's strong enough. There's a whole lot that goes into it. But what's critical here is that we are literally aiming at getting somewhere else. And so when I I just want to note that in my own divorce, I was the one that chose it. I decided to leave. And before that point came, I really thought to myself, what is it that I want in life? And once I realized that I couldn't have what I wanted in life in my current relationship, I just looked at how can I create this bridge in a way that is beautiful? How can I get from today to someplace in the future where I'm post-divorce and I can look back and say, I did that beautifully. I did that with honor, with respect, both self-respect and respect for my partner. And I did that with love, and both self-love and love for her. And what I will say also is that my partner and I had a lot of difficulty. There's a lot of resentment. There was a lot of anger. There was a lot of just, you know, we were trying to keep it together for a long time. And we just got to a point where we constantly triggered each other. We weren't really big fighters, but definitely argued, like lots of arguments. And so what I was really up against was like, I didn't want to fight my partner anymore. I didn't want to argue my way through a divorce. I didn't want to go to battle with her. The other thing I realized, and this is really critical, I had this thought come up, what am I willing to give for my freedom? And this changed everything for me. Because what I see in a lot of divorces is a lot of people say, well, I fucking bought this house, or like I built this business and I want half of the business. I want half of the house. I want 80% of the business because it's my business, you know? And we get really caught up in this ending. And so I'm going to go back to that idea. So the ending, the middle, and the beginning, it's like the backwards order of a thing. So the ending of a relationship, we get caught up in the fight because there's so much in there. And I saw your post today, you know, the cost of marriage is like $40,000, your net worth. I forget what else it said, but I mean, that's true. That's true. And would you be willing to give up everything for your freedom and your future? And that's how I approached it. I thought, you know what? I don't have to fight at all. I had built a business with her. We were partners. We had bought a house together. It was a beautiful 10-acre property in rural Virginia. It was my dream, actually. And I, like, it was so difficult for me to decide. But I decided, in this divorce, I'm going to give her the business we built together, and I'm going to give her the property, thereby avoiding a fight and setting her up for success, because she can take that business and she can fly. She can just take that business and go make it work, and it's of minimal financial impact to her. I can then go and just do it again. I've done it before. I started a business before. I built up my net worth before. So if I did it, and we all have, I mean, short of us getting massive inheritances, which most of us probably haven't, we've all started somewhere, you know, $8 an hour jobs when we were in our 20s, and then we worked our way up to success. And then, okay, great. So if we've done it once, then you can do it again. And so knowing that, I thought, why don't I set her up for her success, honor her, and give her the beautiful things we've created together, and I'll go and do my own thing. So I gave her the house, I gave her the business, I moved back with my brother for 6 months down in New Orleans, and I just spent 6 months in this middle period. Now, before I jump ahead to the middle period, what I want to say is that there is a lot that came up in that ending, and there was a lot of resentment, there was a lot of fuck you. You know, I had a lot of feelings of like, fuck you for not showing up the way you could have, like a lot of belief that I had about what she could have done and didn't do. And so in the end of a marriage, if you want to do it by honoring it, the first thing is recognize that you can choose not to fight, and you can choose to be with the pain and the resentment of it, but not make it at her. And so I took my processing of my emotions, the difficulty of the marriage or divorce, and I did it on my own. I did it in circles of men. I did it with other men that were going through similar experiences. I also did it with a woman who was going through a divorce, and we just sat and talked about how fucking shitty it is and how much it hurts and how much it sucks. And so all the stuff that was coming up, all of my anger and resentment and bitterness, I just talked through it, but not at my partner. I avoided going to the place that was inevitably going to be a fight and just difficult and painful. And I worked through the emotional component, you know, in circles of men and with other people. And
yeah, I want to add some questions here.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because this is where I see lots of us, and myself included, getting stuck. I mean, I'm lucky I've got, you know, like in a different way than you. I didn't have circles of men, but I knew, because I was lucky in my early 20s to find a best friend who was about 9 years older than me, who just really helped. I had older men friends, and that really helped me to stabilize in my 20s.
Yeah.
And when one of those guys died of cancer, I remember, like, I remember dating other men, like, not for sex, but for, are you going to be my next best friend? You know, yeah. And checking out a bunch of guys and eventually, you know, finding some. Anyway, by the time I'm going through divorce, I've got some of that context.
Yeah.
I'm actually in a men's group myself at that point, but I'm still wanting to be angry. Now, you, like, for some reason, you were like, I don't know, like, I don't know how you did that. You just kind of like, I'm going to give you the business. I'm going to give you the house. Maybe you're angry, but you said you're like not putting that on her. But lots of us, like, we want to have that fight because we're still getting, that's the only place where we're still getting, feeling like a real live or something. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Like, I really think that, like, okay, if we've got a circle of men we can talk to, then we're miles ahead of most guys who are going through divorce. most guys who I see going through divorce are like, they're still caught in the resentment, the anger, and it's fueling some part of them.
Yeah.
And they get stuck there for like forever.
Yeah. Well, actually, it's really interesting that you brought that up, because 2 years before my divorce, I was having a conversation with a farmer. He was working on a tractor on my property. And there's two conversations that came up. One, so his name is Forrest. He was like 86 years old. And I asked him about his life. And, you know, he was like, oh, you know, I've been farming my whole life. And my wife died a couple of years ago. And I was like, oh, man, I'm really sorry. And he's like, no, it was terrible. It was the worst marriage ever. And I'm fucking happy. And I was like, wow, holy shit. This guy spent his entire fucking life in a shitty marriage. And he's happy to be fucking like free of it. And I was like, all right, like that, there's something there. And then I met a guy who was in his 50s, and he had gotten divorced like a decade before. And I don't know how this came up, but something came up around like he fucking hated his ex-wife. Like he really, like it was in his body. And he was like, she fucking took my house or something, like, or she took a beach house. It was something about a beach house, and he was pissed. And I was like, I thought this was like recently. And I was like, wow, how long ago is this? And he was like, yeah, 10 years ago. And I was like, Jesus Christ, dude. Like, yeah. Okay, like I get that you're angry, but like, yes, you're right. We get stuck in the fight. We get stuck in the anger, and we keep it. And I mean, here's the thing, like, what kind of life do you want to live? What kind of life do you want to live next year? Or like, I was 36 or 35 or something when I went through this. And I was like, I had a whole lot of life left. And I really got clear that one, I don't want to hold anger at my ex-wife for the rest of my life. Two, I certainly don't want to be in this relationship for the rest of my life, or really any more time after this moment. And what I really got clear on is, yeah, I'm fucking pissed. I'm disappointed in my partner. I have a lot of anger, and it doesn't serve any of us to just blast each other with it. So I'm going to fucking go do my work. I'm going to honor that I need to express my anger. So, I mean, I did a couple of things to process emotions at the time. If I was alone, I went for long walks. I was in rural Virginia. And so I'd walk trails, I'd walk the woods, I'd walk mountains. And I developed a walking meditation that it's a slow walk where I would look for things. Like I would look for feathers on the ground, for example, and it would force me to slow down and just be with what's in me and what's coming through me. Then there's another thing, which is just break shit. You can fucking you can fucking use an axe and like chop wood or like move rocks or like do something with your body when you're feeling angry to like really express and move that stuff. And what's interesting is this is before I knew anything about embodiment work. And yet I just sort of intuitively came up with, okay, I've got a lot of stuff coming through me. And I worked at a farm. I did brutal labor all day in the sun. And then I'd come home and I'd chop wood and I'd just fucking move energy through my body. And by doing that, I just exhausted myself. And so by the time that her and I came back together, while we were still living together, you know, I didn't have a lot of fight left in me. And so it was great. Like, you know, there was some, we still got in arguments, but it wasn't like, I just, you know, I really spent a lot of time just trying to be with my emotions away from her and just going through the waves of anger away from her so that I could just be in that space with her. You know, it was messy. It always is messy, but I have to honor that, like the work I was doing during my divorce around processing my shit physically, you know, going for walks, meditating and fucking breaking, you know, breaking rocks and and chopping wood, like really had a profound impact on what was left in my body when I saw her. So that's that piece. Was there something else you brought up? The men you were around. Oh, getting stuck in the emotional piece. Yeah, well, so that's the other thing is that when I was going through divorce, I realized that there's gonna be a day past this moment where I wanna be healthy. I wanna be emotionally healthy. I was 34 or 35 years old. I wanted children. I didn't have them. And so I knew I need to clean up my life. I need to heal from this process. And I need to go back into the world of dating without the baggage of I hate women, I hate my ex, I hate fucking blah, blah, blah. Like none of that's gonna serve me. And so I just got really, like I understood that, okay, I need to go through divorce, I need to grieve, I need to process my emotions, I need to clear my resentments with my partner. So now we're talking about this middle section. So I just wanna be clear here that like, there is the mess of the divorce and the difficulty of divorce, and that's gonna happen. And being with that really requires support and awareness. And doing your best and just accepting your mess. Then when you get to that middle section in your post-divorce, you've got to just I believe that if you want to create what I consider a sacred divorce, you've got to do everything you can to honor that this was a person you love or loved. Come back to that love and respect, and how honorable can you be? That's the challenge. How honorable can you be at the person that is ruining your fucking life? Because that honor, that integrity that you have now in the space of your greatest challenge is the building block for the rest of your life. And that's the critical piece. What you do in your divorce is the beginning of the rest of your life after it.
And I think you yeah. need, well, I don't know, but I mean, like, you must have had incredible support to feel confident in doing that, because, so that was a question that I had, actually. Like, what were your friends and family saying? Hey, you're giving away your business, you're giving away your house. Like, what the fuck? Are you crazy?
I had some feedback like that. There was a lot of confusion. Like, why would you do that? And this is when I came to this idea. I was like, I want to serve her beautifully so that in this divorce, we have the least amount of fight, the least amount of resentments. We can literally bow at each other and say, thank you for the 10 years we've spent together. I mean, we didn't do this, but like, we kind of did. Like, the last day I was on that property, I gave her a hug. I took a selfie with her and I just said, thank you. And I'm sorry. And when we parted ways, a lot of shit came up after, but I didn't at her with it. I just did the work. I didn't. And you said I must have had support. I mean, I had some support. I didn't have the kind of support I have these days. I didn't have these insanely meticulous and beautiful men's groups. But I had some guys, and I had a friend also that was going through divorce, and I just utilized the support that I could have. And I really went into a place of awareness and meditation. That's the other thing is, I want to be clean with this. So like, let me just, you know, I spent a lot of time walking in the woods, like I said, and I let things come through me. And I just, if I was depressed and sad, good. I would be like walking in the woods crying. If I was angry, I'd be fucking picking up sticks and smashing them on trees. Like, I just let it be. And I just walked my way through this process, and it's not clean. It's messy. But yeah, so then I got to this middle section, and this is really the place that I feel like this is where you make it sacred, right? So do everything you can to come to a place of forgiveness. Like, the key piece in divorce is forgiveness. Two people fucked up. That's all it comes down to. You know, it's never one person. It's always two people in relationship and how we dance. And at the end of a relationship, we just didn't dance well. Okay. So at the end of, you can focus your whole life on fuck this person, or like, I hate this person, or like, what did this person do to me? Or you can say, you know what, we did our best. And I really I really focused that time on how can I get to forgiveness? How can I get to a place where I honor what she did bring and what she tried to bring? And also forgiveness for myself, forgiveness for like the messiness that I made. And, that's the critical piece of healing, is that you go through the grief, and it is grief, and there might be an identity crisis in it. You know, I gave up everything. And so I was like, well, I didn't give up everything, but I gave up a lot. And I was like, all my identity was wrapped up in my business as a photographer. And I'm still a photographer. I started a new business, but yeah, I was a photographer for a decade. We had a business together. We had a farm. So I'm giving up all these life dreams. And I was like, in a total wash of identity crisis at the time. And that's okay. It's part of grief. So you wander your way through grief. You do forgiveness work. You clean up as much as you can clean up in that space. And you honor that you may never clean up everything. And that, what I'll say is that I was looking to find somebody else that I could start a family with. And at 35, I was like, okay, let me do this as efficiently as I can do it. It took about, maybe 16 months for me to be really, truly clean. And then there's a whole other piece, which we can talk about another time, around how to date, but.
Yeah. We got that on the agenda, you and Chance. Yeah. We can talk about dating, men and dating.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's great. But before I ever got to dating, I wanted to be clean. I wanted to show up without the resentments that guy who hated his wife. I didn't want that. I didn't want to be that guy and date, because you would attract all the wrong kind of partners. And so recognizing that I wanted a clean, healthy relationship, I had to show up clean and healthy. And that's where I was heading. And that gets back to this. Before I even got divorced, I knew where I was going. And so the divorce was not the end. It was the beginning of a process. And that's a critical piece of understanding. Your divorce is the beginning. It's the beginning of the rest of your life. And if you look at it that way, it changes your relationship to the divorce. It's still going to be difficult, but it's not the fucking end of your life. You know what I mean? And I think that's really important. I think that, like, really recognizing that this is not the end. This is just where I'm at right now. And there will be a future.
Well, let's, so we've just, before we went live with the show, you and I talked about this word sacred and sacrament came out. So
yeah,
for most of us, when we enter, you know, that relationship, whether we get formally married or just common law over several years, we find ourselves, this is the woman, this is where I want to be. And if we formally do it, then we actually say words and we, you know, there's a sacred agreement that we go into.
Right.
And so that was, you know, part of my curiosity around the sacred divorce thing is like, how do you break the sacrament? How do you, it's like a, you know, I made a commitment to you to go through this, through, you know, hell or high water, sickness and death, the shit and the good. And now I'm bailing, or now you're bailing, like.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's a really interesting. So I just want to make a discernation here. So when you call it a sacrament, were you raised like religious, a Catholic or something? And it's like through that lens, it's a sacrament, or you're looking at it as like marriage is sacred outside of all religious thought.
Right. So I don't have a religious attachment to marriage, and that's certainly not how I'm thinking about that. But we do actually make these commitments when we, you know, if we go through a formal marriage, even if it's just a legal one, in my case, it was just sitting down with the justice of the peace, and the justice of the peace, you know, or the marriage commissioner asking a few questions, but they were the questions of like, do you commit to, you know, to being with this person basically to the rest of your life through sickness and health, through all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, yeah, I do. And saying it changed, like it, things felt different, even though I hadn't intended that. I just thought we were going to like sign a piece of paper and continue as we were. But saying them, and this really ties into, especially the stuff that we're working on right now with John and you guys in this training.
Yeah, integrity,
The integrity piece, you know?
Right.
So if I say to you, I'm here, if I say to you, Max, I'm here with you till the end of your days, you know, like whether you get dementia or whether you shit the bed or, you know, you have affairs or whatever, I'm there.
Okay.
There's no like clause A, clause, you know, well, if he does this, then I'm out. If he does this, I'm out. So
yeah,
I make this commitment and then I'm breaking it. That's what I find. And I think for some of us, maybe not all of us, but for some of us, that's.
Yeah. And let me just say, and I respect the beauty of making a commitment and sticking to it for the rest of your life, if that's what you want to do. I think that the thing about divorce is that the environment of your life has changed. You know, in my case, I was with somebody for 10 years and I got to a point where I just was, you know, I could not be the partner she needed. We had grown apart. That's one way of saying it. But also, you know, we were just in different places. What I wanted from life, I wanted kids and I didn't trust her to be the mother of my children. Right. You know, and there's another thing around just, there was a lot, she was going through a healing process of her own, and through the healing process we were both going through in life, I think we were, you know, landing in different places. And I think, you know, yes, I made a commitment to be with her till the end. And then you get to a point where it's okay that this has come to its end. You know, that's how that's how I felt. And I didn't feel a lot come up around the commitment that I made at the beginning. Mm-hmm. But I also was the one that initiated the divorce. And I can imagine that if a partner had initiated the divorce, I mean, that might come up. I might be like, but you said, you know, forever. And while that's true, you know, we're human and we do our best. And sometimes it doesn't work. And it's important to recognize if something's really not working, honor that. And maybe it's time to move on, because we've got one life. You've got one life. And I don't want to be like Forrest, that farmer that was like 86 years old. And he was like, my whole fucking life was this shit marriage. And I was like, fuck, brother. Like, that was the thing that really woke me up and made me realize, like, if I don't either fix this or get the fuck out of this, this is like, it's just going to keep going. Like, we had done a lot of couples counseling. We did the work, you know, we did everything we could, and it just wasn't working, you know? And I got to a point where I just had to say, I honor you for your time, and I've got to go. And if I was on the receiving end, I mean, it's a little different because it's happening at you. You're receiving the divorce decree from your partner, and it hurts in a different way. And it will provoke a lot of different woundage. But were you about to say something?
Well, I just I don't want to spend a lot of time on, like, I don't particularly, the breaking the sacrament's not a really big thing. I think that the important thing is that what you brought to this is like your consciousness about actually trying to be sacred and how you went through that end and how you then built the next part of it.
Well, and so that's a perfect segue to this one. Let me just say it this way. If you honor that you created a beautiful sacrament out of your marriage, then close it with the same beauty you believe you had. If this was a sacred commitment that you made, end it sacredly. Instead of blowing it up, end it with the respect and dignity and grace that you that is called for if it's sacred, you know? And
do you think this would have been different if she would have been you know, at your throat about stuff, or if you had that feeling of her being at your throat about, like, so you offer the, you're like, you basically say, I mean, I don't know, this is what I'm taking away. You basically said, here's the business. I don't want to fight with you. Here's the business. Here's the house. And then if she would have gone after you and said, yeah, but I want like money for the rest of my life or something, or.
Sure. I mean, okay. So this comes back to something that I said earlier on, which is how much are you willing to give for your freedom? How much are you willing to give for you to be free to do whatever the fuck you want out of life? You know what I mean? Yeah. No matter what, whether you're the one that's divorcing or you're being divorced, you have life from here to the rest of your life. And that's like, what do you want with that? And I think, you know, the critical piece is really to be free of this part of my life so that I can move on and do the next thing. And I've talked to some guys that have given tremendous sums of money, whether it's child support or, you know, business arrangements, or if the masculine partner was like the sole breadwinner of a family, and you know, courts decided like you've got to pay this much for however long, like okay, that's where we are in this process, and can you do that for your freedom? If you can't, you can fight more, but do you want to fight? And I'm not proposing that this is easy. And I just want to remind you that, you know, at the beginning, one thing I said is that this is a hard fucking thing. And where are we going? Like, where are you going after this moment? And what's going to get you there? So, you know, you made a proposition. What if my wife wanted more? What if she wanted, you know, me to pay her for an extended period of time? That's why I gave her the business. You know, I gave her the business that we built because I didn't want to. So if I gave her the keys to the entire business, what can she take from me? Right. She took the whole net worth. You know what I mean? And if we had done this through a court, which we didn't have to, so here's another thing that's interesting, that when I talk to people about my divorce, yeah, divorce can be really expensive. It can also be incredibly cheap. Like, if you can do this with incredible cleanliness with your partner, you can do it for like under $500. Now, I recognize that the true cost was me giving her the business and my net worth and my equity in the property. And so there's a big chunk of money that I'm not talking about, but, you know, we handled the divorce with the legal system incredibly cheaply. And then I handled the divorce in terms of our financial decoupling. I didn't leave any room for her to ask anything of me because I gave it to her. And I think that's part of it, is what you're saying is, you said, what if she was at my throat wanting more? I think I knew that the way to avoid that was to just give her the keys to the farm and give her the keys to the business and say au revoir. And, you know, I didn't leave her much space to ask her anything of me. And she knew that.
And I think you're like, for whatever reason, you were able to come to that with some kind of, I guess, your relationship to yourself and where you wanted to go was that sacred relationship that would fuel your ability to just let go. So I mean, you were in your mid-30s. I think that's pretty young to have that kind of perspective and maturity, but you also had the sense of wanting to raise a family, and you needed to get clear of this thing to do that. So in my case, I'm just going to quickly summarize my own story, and then we're going to see if Armando or anybody else wants to ask questions. So in my first marriage, it was interesting because I, when you were talking, I mean, it, when that ended, it became, I was doing a bunch of work and it became clear to me what I wanted, you know, that, that this hadn't been my ideal marriage. Yeah. I was not happy that it was ending.
Right.
But I was setting myself up for what I wanted, because there were some things that I wanted, which interestingly led me to doing work with John Wineland like 20 years later, but that was, that's something else. And in this, and that, and the legal part of the divorce actually got put in the back burner for several years. And when we got to actually dealing with it, my ex was very concerned about her security.
Yeah.
And we were in a mediated process at that point, so we weren't even working with lawyers. And I was just, and she was a, you know, I was tired of listening to her, but the mediator had said, this is all she needs. She needs to talk. And I'm there to like make sure that it doesn't get crazy.
Yeah.
And as she talked about what she needed, it became really clear to me, like, I don't want the house. Like, I mean, I want some financial value from it, but there's no hurry from it. I don't need you to sell it. I actually want you. Our custody issue was really easy. We were 50-50. I said, that's where, that's the kids' home. When they're with you, I want them to be there. I want you to be there. Like, I don't want you to sell that.
Right.
And all of a sudden, her fight just was gone.
Exactly.
So that was a great outcome there. And eventually, like several years later, she paid me out for what, you know, what I was owed. But in the second case, there was a lot more property involved. And I did get tangled up with like, hey, this is, you know, this is mine.
Yeah.
What the fuck are you doing? And we had her and her lawyer and me and my lawyer. And I love my lawyer. I mean, he was so great. He always made me laugh. Like whatever it would be like, I'd just be like, you know, like chewing nails, and he'd like make some comment and it would just, we'd just dissolve into laughter afterwards.
Yeah.
But he said to me, you know, legally, yes, you're in the right, but you will lose everything and you will spend way more than you, your, the money in court. He said, my advice to you is, you know, cut your losses, move on.
Like, right.
And because he had a sense of humor and he could poke fun at me, and I didn't really want to fight, although I would get like, when we were in the same room, you know, my defensive stuff would trigger. So I was really lucky to have him as a lawyer. And in the end, it was interesting because, as you said, I mean, I went from zero to some kind of net worth. And I, this time I had, you know, way more than zero, but I didn't take me long to recoup
what
I lost.
Of course.
Unfortunately for her, she continued her pattern and struggled. And
Yeah, and you bring up a good point, which is that we have different situations, and yet there's a similarity here, which is that you know, like with, I guess, the mother of your children, is that the one that you gave her the property?
Well, I didn't give her the property. I just didn't fight for it. I just said, I don't need the money right now. Like, it's not, you don't have to sell it right now. Like, yeah, I want something for it, but I'm not going to force you to sell the place.
Well, right. So that's what I'm saying. You didn't fight her on getting something. You just said, here, like, and you basically let her stay in it. And I mean, I'm sure it could have gone any direction, but she did end up giving you, you know, giving you some money when it was sold. And that's beautiful, because also you basically punted it forward. You basically were like, what's the thing I can do that serves her in this moment and gives her what she needs so that I can have my freedom? And by doing that, how beautiful is it that later on she's like, here's a check for the house. Like, great. You know, and that flies in the face of the other situations that happen often, where like people just tear each other apart and take as much as they can from each other.
Well, and I think it gets particularly ugly with children. And You know, one of the things that I felt really clearly about with her was that most of the time our kids came first. So, so that, you know, that really moderated some of the heat.
Yeah. And okay. So that's another thing is if anyone's going through divorce with children, I said something earlier about how much would you give for your freedom, but how much would you give for everyone's freedom if you have kids? Yeah. How do you honor your children so that they are free from this divorce as much as you? Because divorce is traumatizing to people that are going through divorce, and it's traumatizing to the kids that are involved in it. And if you can remove the fight and remove the aggression and just lean into, you know, the creating of a sacred decoupling and do it with beauty and love, that's how you do divorce with the least impact on children, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
And it's critical. It's critical.
So I'd like to open it up right now. We've got Armando here. Armando, if you want to ask a question, just unmute yourself, and Max is here to answer questions, or if you want to offer your comments. Now you're still muted. There you go.
How's it going?
Hey, Armando.
I don't really have a lot to say except that I'm going through a really nasty divorce. I tried to make it as loving and peaceful as possible, but she happened to hire one of the worst attorneys in the world, and they're just trying to take everything. Yeah. And I certainly understand where you want to like give and just like walk away and just make it all peaceful, but I have a lot.
Right.
And she's trying to take all of it.
Yeah.
And if she would, then I'd be, you know, probably collecting Joe Biden checks on the side of the road.
Yeah.
And that's not acceptable to me because I've worked my whole life for what I've got now.
Yeah.
I've got two kids, one's 19, one's 21, and one just graduated from college, the other one's still in college. And it's so difficult. I'm trying to be 1,000% in integrity always on everything that I do. Last few weeks, I've dropped way out of my integrity. And especially, I missed the whole last call with John Weiland because I was going through some bad shit.
Yeah.
And anyway, today I happened to pick up, you know, a real quick 30-minute call, and I loved it. And I'm back. I'm trying to get back into my integrity again. But divorce really sucks so bad.
That's the worst.
I know. It really is. And Max, I completely agree with you. Walk away, make it easy. We could earn money again. You know, I mean, if I was 38 years old, I'd do the same thing all over again, you know. But you get to a certain point in your life where you worked your whole life, and now you get somebody that wants to take everything from you. Right. And it's really not fair. Especially when the attorneys are all fighting. Hell, my divorce is well over $100,000 in cost already. It's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, it's and like, I didn't want this.
Right.
This woman was my queen. She was my love. I spoiled her. I gave her everything. She cheated on me for 10 years of my marriage.
Yeah, I'm sorry, man. That's hard.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm really sorry, too. I didn't even know it, you know? And then when I tried to leave, my kids were crying, and dad, what did we do? So I sucked it up.
Right.
And I stayed until my son went away to college. Then I filed for divorce, and then I'm done, you know. This whole conversation that we're having tonight is an amazing thing, and I really love it that we're doing it. And Max, thank you for bringing it forward, and Hans, thank you for inviting me to this conversation. And I love the opportunity to talk about it because, you know, as men, it's so hard because a lot of times I've got a real big feminine heart. Let me just tell you that.
Yeah.
I'm a huge giver. I give. I'm a protector and I'm a healer. That's what I am.
Yeah.
And it's so freaking hard when you get attacked by all sides, and all you really want to do is just give and heal and make it all just go away, but it doesn't happen. Attorneys are the worst. Yeah, they're the worst. But
yeah, tough. Well, listen, what I want to say is, you're in a very difficult position, and I can't claim to give the best advice. You know, the ages that we're going through these experiences are a little different, you know, in terms of like what can be rebuilt at different ages. What I will say is that there is a piece. What it feels like to me is that you guys are locked up in this space with lawyers. And I just wonder, is there any space in there for you guys to feel each other's humanity? Or is she completely shut off and she's a completely, like, she's closed to any potential of you as like, you know, worthy of heart?
Well, that's a really good question. I've tried to be like that from the very beginning.
Yeah.
But she hired an attorney that is all about the money.
Right.
And her attorney plays to her emotions.
Right.
And when the attorney makes her emotions really high,
yeah,
she just wants to kill everything that I'm trying to give.
Right.
And I'm in Florida, and in Florida, it's all about, you know, it's 50-50. So I'm like, you know, you're going to get 50%. Why do you have to fight and make this so miserable for all of us?
Yeah.
And then she, of course, tells the kids I'm a bad person. And, you know, at the end of the day, the kids will know the truth. But, you know, it's like, Jesus Christ, why?
Yeah.
And, you know, especially since I've been in this work a little bit, you know, I'm really trying to be 1,000% in integrity. And, you know, before I started this last module, okay, what is integrity? Is your house clean? That's part of your integrity.
Totally.
You know, is your boat full of gas before you go out? That's part of integrity. Are you taking good care of your girlfriend and her dog? That's part of integrity. So there's so many different parts of integrity that I had no idea.
Yeah,
you know, so this whole work that we're involved in with John Weiland, and I mean, I sincerely am so happy that I'm in it. If I wasn't in it, man, I'd be lost. I really would. I'd be lost. And Hans is a great guy. I've reached out to him many times. So Hans, I've got this crazy girlfriend that's really deep into this work. What am I going to do? How do I even handle this crazy woman? And so he's helped me out a lot. And
That's great.
Yeah. So anyway.
Yeah, brother. Well, let me just.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, there's a key piece in here, man, which is that there's got it. So is this the woman you're divorcing currently? Is she the mother of your children?
She is.
I just feel called to say there's got to be a piece somewhere in her where she would understand that you're still like, you're still the father of these children and you want to be able to serve these children. And I, your situation is complex and I understand, like, I can't really advise you on your divorce because there's a lot of legality stuff and that's not, I mean, I avoided court completely. So there's that. Doesn't make me better. It's just a different situation. And what I'm getting at is I just wonder, like, what would it take for her to feel in her heart that what she takes from you is taking from the children as well? You know?
Well, she's been divorced before.
Right.
And she's cheated on every man she's been with.
Mm.
She's taken everything from anybody that she's been with too. So I unfortunately probably married my mother, because my mother was so bad, and it goes back to childhood wounding, you know.
Yeah,
so
always.
So now, God,
you're swimming in it.
I'm swimming in it, and you know, I'm trying to get out of it. And then I started dating, and then I'm not dating a woman that's really heavily into this work, and she's really tweaking me and keeping me in line and showing me the right way. And she's an amazing person, actually.
She really is. I'm happy for you, brother. That's great. It's a nice salve in the midst of the difficulty of where you're at. It's nice to have good feminine devotion and love. And
oh my God, yes. Absolutely. What an amazing person she is.
So yeah. I just want to add a comment here, Armando. So when I was in, our lawyers, me, her, were in negotiation with my second wife. And we came out of one of the sessions and my lawyer said, you know, just made some comment about her being, that's where the comment about at your throat was. He made some comment about, well, she's a, you know, a hellcat after your throat. And when you're describing your wife, Armando, it made me think of that. I wanted to connect with her because we had had something, but her rage, so you talked about the attorneys amping this stuff up. But in my case, it wasn't that. This woman was just really, really, really fearful, and her way of operating was to become really afraid and really angry and really nasty. And there was really nothing I could do except follow what I thought was good advice from my lawyer, and that was, you know, cut my losses and get out of there. Because as Max has said, you know, that was the cost of freedom for me. Like I did not want to be wrestling with this hellcat. Like she would have torn me to shreds, and I wasn't really happy with how that outcome was, but I knew that at least I was free of that.
Yeah.
And it was expensive, you know, from my point of view. It was financially expensive, but from a heart place, it was, the hard part of it was that we couldn't have that heart connection that you were asking for, Max. There was just no opportunity for that because she was just really afraid. And I think that, you know, that's what some of this work gives to me, is an understanding of just how sometimes the feminine is so protective because of millennia of having to be really protective and being preyed upon. And sometimes we end up with these women who, they're just, you know, they just give vent to all this stuff and we just happen to be there. I mean, maybe, you know, in my case, it was a good thing to learn about some of the stuff, but it wasn't a nice thing. Ironically, you know, she and I got back together a number of years later, and when that but at that point I had my eyes wide open about a lot of things, and I could have my heart open, but I also saw that she was just somebody who just struggled, and I was actually in a good place, and I felt, I mean, now I just, you know, I have prayers for her. Like I wish her life was easier. I hope at some point that you're able to do that with your ex, look at her and go, oh man, I hope you get your shit together because you're making your life so miserable. And especially for her kids. I mean, I see that with my stepkids, you know, like it would be so great if things were easier for their mom.
Yeah. No, I completely agree with that. I really only want the best for her, even though she is this hellcat attacking me from every angle and throwing daggers at me. And I mean, every day I suffer from the attorneys. You know, today was a $10,000 attorney call. Yesterday it was a $30,000. I mean, it's like they're killing me. And
yeah.
And all I really do is I care for her. I really do. And I just want her to be okay. And I know she's suffering, and I know she wants to take everything from me so she can be okay. She doesn't give a rat's ass about me. She just wants to be on top of the hill and doesn't care. And, you know, to me, money isn't everything, because I can remake it again. I certainly can remake it again. But when you're getting attacked from every single angle, it's really hard to be 1,000% in integrity, right, guys?
I mean, oh, of course.
Help me understand this whole integrity thing, which is part of module 4 that we're working on now.
Well,
am I out of integrity by not wanting to give her everything?
No, not necessarily. Not at all, actually. I mean, you can honor the truth of your heart is where it is, and the truth of your feelings and beliefs are where they are. I wouldn't look, you're in a really difficult place. Divorce is, it's messy, it's hard, it's difficult. I wouldn't try to apply too much integrity and like how integrity, how much, what I would rather see you do is I'm doing the best I can and accept that instead of trying to measure it against this, am I a 10 on the integrity scale today? You know what I mean? And just honor that when you're out of integrity with like, maybe you have a fucking, like maybe you have a day where you just go off the rails and you're like a dick. Okay. Like you were an asshole today. Great. That's fine. And that's totally okay. And that's where you're at. And being okay with that is actually more important than being in perfect integrity. Cause divorce is messy, brother. Where in Florida are you?
I'm in Isla Morada.
Nice. You know, there is one option. Cuba's only a couple hours away, and I heard you say you have a boat, and I don't think they extradite. So if you just want to fuck off and get
I'm not going to Cuba.
I know, I'm kidding.
I am not going to Cuba.
I know, I'm just messing with you, brother. That's not the right option. But it's a beautiful place to be. Where you're at now.
To be.
Yeah,
okay.
That's great.
Isla Morada is a beautiful place to be.
Yeah, nice.
Guys, so, I don't know if you know Isla Morada, but I'm down in the Florida Keys.
Yeah, I know where it is. I haven't been there, but I'd like to come down. The Keys are beautiful.
It is beautiful.
I live in New Orleans, so I'm, you know, a day drive from you.
Yeah, long day drive.
Yeah, you know.
You got to go all the way across that panhandle.
It's a long one.
Yeah.
Right. We're at time, guys. Do you have a closing question or a comment, Armando? And then I'm going to hand it over to Max.
No, you know what? I really appreciate the opportunity. Thank you very much for the invite. I love this work that you're doing. In addition to what we do with John Weiland, yeah. You are the man, Hans. Thank you so much for doing what you're doing. And you know what? I love that beard you got going on there.
I'll tell you the secret to the beard when it's my turn to talk.
And the emoji of yourself, that is so cool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Armando, you got to create one. There's a perfect emoji, whatever Bitmoji you'd be. You've got great hair. You could make it easily.
Thanks.
Yeah, if I could just, you know, I'll just, here's what I'll do to just to kind of bring this around is that divorce is difficult. Divorce is messy. Divorce is fucking hell.
Yes,
indeed. And the critical piece is getting past the divorce into where you want to be in life. And so, you know, where anyone's at in this moment, like Armando, you're in this difficult fight with this, you know, what's the deal that can be made right now? And are you willing to accept that? That's the question. Because the longer you drag this out, you're just burying yourself under more, you know, money owed to the lawyers, right?
Yeah,
So what would she be willing to accept with her, you know, hellish lawyer team? What would they accept right now? And would you accept that? I'm not asking you for the details. I'm just saying that in this place that we're in, which is the, like, you know, the decoupling and the difficulty, what would it take to be free? That's really the key. And that's not just financially, that's also emotionally. And that's also, you know, cognitively, like cleaning up the mind space so that we can be free to go. You're dating a wonderful woman. Great. Like what will it take for you to be fully hers and done with this part of your life? And what I was looking for is finding a mom, someone that I could have kids with, you know? And so it took time, but you know, I went through the process. I did the healing work and I showed up and I got really lucky because I found what I was looking for. I wrote out a list of exactly what I was looking for in a partner. And then I dated for a year, didn't find it. And at the end of the year, boom, she popped right up. And I was like, well, there we are. And so, you know, divorce is hard. It's messy, you know, and I honor you in this moment, man, that you're in a tough spot. And I honor you, Hans. Thanks for having me on the call. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Max. The list was something I did. Interestingly, the next woman who showed up met lots of that list, and there were some really good things that happened. The real answer to that list didn't show up for almost 20 years, and then I wasn't aware. So it was like Santa Claus knocked on the door, and I'm like, oh, this is nice, but I just didn't pay enough attention. So for me, a lot of this work is about being aware right now. like sometimes when we do these men's work sessions, we actually do a little, a really short exercise just to bring ourselves into our body to feel what we're feeling right now. Like I said, when I was going through my divorce, I had a lawyer whose sense of humor kept bringing me back down to earth, because I would just go fucking crazy about the money stuff and also about my heart, because it just, there was so much stuff. So yeah, like you said, divorce is really hard. I think it's really hard for men, in large part because lots of us don't have men to talk to. So you know, you're a great example of when you went into that process, you had some kind of supportive community around you, some men you could talk to. If any man is listening to this right now, who is going, is contemplating divorce or is facing it or whatever, or is, you know, some of these last for years and are years of pain. If you're there, reach out to somebody. There are coaches, there are therapists, there are ways of getting support. There are men's groups out there. You know, you can talk to me, you can talk to Max. A lot of the work that we do at johnwineland.com is related to basically coming into some kind of integrity and living a better life for ourselves that leads to better life for our kids and our spouses and girlfriends and stuff. So I just encourage you, if you're a man listening to this and you're struggling with divorce stuff, talk to somebody and start. I like what you said, Max, you know, not only making a list about what you want, but know that, you know, like one day to, you know, like the 12-step program, one day at a time, and this too shall pass. This too shall pass, and you get through it. You're going to have days where you just fly off the handle, completely lose it. And then there's days where you recognize what you really want and it starts to happen. Thank you, Armando, for joining us. Thanks, Max, for joining me. If you're listening to this on the podcast, there will be another podcast soon with Max and with Chancey Dawn talking about dating. And Max is going to talk a little bit about dating after divorce.
Have a great one. Thanks a lot, man.
Until then, thanks for listening. Thanks for being part of this. See you guys.